What is peace? We sing about it. We talk about it. We even pray for it. But what is peace? Have you stopped and thought about it? What is peace? It's probably the number one answer in a beauty contest. What would you like? I would love world peace. Is it possible? Is it attainable? Is it something foreign? I was talking with Lynette the other night, and we were actually getting ready to go to sleep, and I just rolled over and I said, Lynette, I don't know about you, but it doesn't feel like Christmas. There's something missing. And she said, yeah, I know what you mean. I feel the same thing, that there's kind of a hole. And so I spent, you know, before I went to bed and fell asleep, spent that time thinking about what is it that's missing? And could it be that it's that peace that we talk about and think about and desire and pray about? There is not a day that seems to go by lately that we don't have certain things happening in our world that are disturbing, that shake and rattle our peace. Maybe that could be it. I'm kind of betting that that is. P.T. Barnum, if you know who that is, he was who? Circus, right. Barnum and Bailey's Circus. Last night, our family, we went downstairs and we watched The Greatest Showman. It is my daughter Jordan's favorite movie. And it was Michaela's birthday on the 20th, just so everybody knows. And that was her request for her birthday celebration. We celebrated last night. And so we watched The Greatest Showman. And a great story. P.T. Barnum said this. He said, the noblest art is that of making others happy. The noblest art is that of making people happy. What do you think about that? Is it true? The noblest art. So of all the things that you could do that qualifies as art, he's saying the noblest is to make people happy. What is it to make people happy? Can you define it? Make them laugh? Okay. What else? What else makes people happy? Have their problems go away? Sure. That makes me really happy. What else? To belong. Yeah, I like that one. To belong. What else makes you happy? These are great descriptions of what happiness can be, or what we desire. But if we were to define it, I looked it up, and they would use these words, delighted, pleased, and glad would be happy. That you're delighted, that you're pleased, and that you're glad. So P.T. Barnum said the noblest art that you can pursue is to make people delighted or glad. P.T. Barnum also said these things. Clowns are the pegs on which the circus is hung. I'm sure hoping I'm not the clown. But I think I am at times. P.T. Barnum also said this. It's attributed to him. It's debated. There's a sucker born every minute. He also said, ruin is the only thing you win in this kind of ridiculous game of wanting to impress people and have them talk about you. I like people thinking well of me. But if that's all that I'm in the game about, P.T. Barnum would say, that'll bring you to ruin. Because you want people to think well of you. P.T. Barnum also said, a person cannot accumulate a fortune very well when he is sick. I wonder if Jesus would agree with that. Can you accumulate a fortune when you are sick? See, man has tried to accumulate a fortune throughout history. And sometimes that fortune looks like power. Sometimes that fortune looks like influence. Sometimes that fortune looks like wealth. But in Jesus' words, he would say, those pursuits are the indications of someone that's sick. I think P.T. Barnum got it right. A person cannot accumulate a fortune very well when he is sick. Because they're thinking about that which could heal them, and they ignore or miss that who can heal you, which is Jesus Christ. It says in our scripture, in Luke chapter 2, the birth of Jesus. You're familiar with the story, I trust. We typically read it on Christmas Eve, but I wouldn't mind reading it this morning. And if you would do the Lord Jesus the honor and pleasure of standing as we read it. Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in cloth and laid him in a feeding trough because there was no room for them at the inn. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flocks. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today a Savior who is Messiah the Lord, who was born for you in the city of David. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough. Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. When the angel had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a feeding trough. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. May the Lord add blessing to the reading and hearing of his word this morning. Amen. You may be seated. What captures my attention about this story is verse 14. Verse 14, when the multitude of angels appear the heavenly host, and they're praising God, and they say this: glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors. Peace on earth to people he favors. Now we review the story, the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus, and we've walked through with Mary and Joseph. We walked through with Zechariah and Elizabeth. And we've seen the favor of God upon these two women, these two families. God was highly, highly favorable to Mary. That she would be the woman that was chosen by God to bear the Son of God, that would save the people from their sins. What high favor is that? And that Elizabeth, in her old age, when she thought she was well past the time that she would ever give birth to a child, and an angel would appear and say, "You're going to give birth to a son in your old age. It's going to take away your embarrassment amongst your people. And this boy isn't just going to be a normal boy, a normal man, but he's going to go forth in what? The power of Elijah. He's going to go forth and he's going to have a ministry. He's going to set the roads straight before the coming Messiah. He's going to call people to repentance, to come and to acknowledge their sin and confess their sin, their wrongdoing, and follow the coming Messiah. What was that all about? It was about peace. It was about preparing the people for the person of peace, the Prince of Peace, who was going to be born, who was born and who was to come and be amongst the people. I wonder, from that faithful night that we just read about, that Jesus being born, I wonder if people forgot about that night, forgot about Jesus. Because Jesus didn't start ministering until he was when what? 30. 30 years go by. And what you expect from the Son of God, the Messiah, healing people, setting people free, becoming king and getting rid of the Romans and setting their country free, that hasn't happened yet. It's 30 years when that star set. Peace hasn't arrived yet. Peace hasn't come upon the people yet. It's actually got worse. But the prophet said, but the angel said, but his parents believed and never doubted. That Jesus, the Son of God, peace. He is our peace. 400 years has gone past in the intertestamental time between the Old Testament and New Testament that God did not speak. There was no prophet that had a message of God. And then there's an angel who appears and says, "Mary, you're going to give birth to the Son of God. Emmanuel, God with us. Peace." And yet they wait another 30 years until Jesus starts ministering. And they actually start seeing physical evidence of the peace of God. The kingdom breaking through into darkness, bringing light. People healed. People that can't see can see. People that can't hear can hear. People that can't walk are walking. People that were dead, alive. Who is this man? Do they remember him 30 years ago? As a Prince of Peace, a babe. P.T. Barnum also said this, the bigger the humbug, the better the people will like it. What's he mean by humbug, Michaela? The bigger the show. Well, Jesus came on, we sing about it, a silent night. Was born in a stable, cave. There wasn't a big fanfare. It was kind of like he slipped into this world. And then started growing, being a child, being a kid. It wasn't a big humbug. It wasn't a big show. Would people have even recognized or known that peace had come to them? What is peace? We know that to Mary it was a great delight. We know to the shepherds it was a great gladness. We know to Joseph it was so. We know that 2 years later, wise men show up upon the scene to see the humbug that was in the sky. Does the world recognize peace today? Do you recognize peace today? Are you reminded of who is peace? Not who just encapsulates peace, but who is actually peace. And that's Jesus Christ. See, our job as followers of Christ is we can't give people peace. We can only point to the peace. We can point to the humbug. We can point back to the time that Jesus was born. But we can't make people accept peace. Only God does that by the power of the Holy Spirit. But we need to be faithful to share what? The story of peace. The story of Jesus. The story of his birth. Will we do that this Christmas? Share the story of peace. Of Christ. See, when Jesus says, or when the Bible says, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. His peace rests on who? The people that follow God. The people that believe in Jesus. People that follow him, his favor rests upon. What does that mean? The rest of the world does not experience his peace. That's our job, is to point out his peace. Actually, when you read further on in Matthew 10, chapter 10, there's some enlightening as to what Jesus came to do. And we know that he came to bring peace to those that God favors. But it also says something else. Verse 34 of Matthew 10 says this, don't assume that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. How do you reconcile that? How do you reconcile that? Jesus said, and the Bible said, and it's God's word, that Jesus came to bring peace on earth to those he favors. He did not promise peace on earth to those that do not know him. But instead, he said, I will bring a sword. See, when you and I point to the peace of Christ, we actually bear the sword of Christ as well. Because the sword of Christ calls people to ask the question, what do I do with this man, Jesus? That's Christmas. What do we do with this man, Jesus? This God-man born so many years ago, born of peace. What do we do with him? Each man, each woman has to come to answer that question at some point in their life. What do I do with this man, Jesus? Because you either will have life or you will have death. Jesus was born for this reason, to give peace to God's creation, to bring peace where there was wrath. Because all men and women and children have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and there was no repairing it. God had tried everything that he could, atonement, sacrifices, but man kept on falling into sin. So what did he choose to do? To give the greatest gift ever. Peace to a person's soul, even though they may die, but peace with him through Christ Jesus. He was born for this reason, to bring peace between man and God. Isn't that the greatest message? That's the greatest message you can share, and share at Christmas. So if you're in town and around tomorrow, I would challenge you, challenge each one of us, maybe invite a neighbor or friend, hear the gospel tomorrow night as we celebrate the birth of peace that reconciles man to God, and hear people's stories. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in our world that seems is upside down today, Father God, I pray that you would give us a fresh sense and knowing of your peace. Peace is not from the world, but peace is from you. We ask that your Spirit would fill us afresh and anew. We ask that you would give us the boldness, the courage, the love, the care to share your peace, to point people to your peace that is everlasting. Father, bless our community this Christmas. Bless our province. Bless our leaders, our Prime Minister, Father. We pray that they would be shaken by the love and joy of your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.